Okay, welcome back, Hour 2. We talked last time about Group A strep. Group A strep has been around forever, perhaps. It's a very virulent bacteria. It lives on the skin. And if you puncture your skin through a scrape, a cut, a poke with whatever, it can result in cellulitis. That's one way of terming it. It's actually an internal body infection. That group A strep goes to work inside, and it does a lot of very nasty things. It kills people. Now, the bad news is, that's bad enough, but the real bad news is, 17 years ago, a new variant of group A strep was discovered. It started out very slowly, but right now, this new group A strep variant is in about half a dozen countries, and it's at least vying for equal status with the old Group A strep. What's the difference? The new variant called M1 UK is 900% more virulent than the traditional Group A strep. Nine times, 900% more virulent than the traditional Group A strep that lives on your skin. It just lives there, and it can be entered into your body, as I mentioned, any number of ways, punctures, tears in the skin, etc. And also, we have the issue of strep throat, and we'll talk about that this hour as well. But this new M1 UK is bad. Streptococcus pyogenes is a species of gram-positive, aerotolerant bacteria that can cause Group A streptococcal infections. A variant of this species known as M1UK has been increasingly reported and can be differentiated from the global variant by its overexpression of the superantigen SPEA. Now, this is not good news, and it's spreading. It lives on the skin with the traditional Group A strep, and it may be brooming the old style out. At any rate, this is very dangerous, very fast-acting, and is spreading, as I said. Now, we've got at least five or six countries where it is prominent now. It's seemingly taking over from the old classical Group A strep. This is bad news. A lot of times you can get cellulitis, not know it, and wait too long, and you're in big, big trouble. And as you know, if you were with us a couple of programs ago, Erica described her encounter with it, and it was not good. Not fun, and she's still trying to get over it. If you look online, and you'll find people who talk about this, many of them have not gotten over it for months, and many of them end up getting it two, three, four times. Some have gotten it, I think it was over 13. Anyway, are you there, young lady? Welcome back.
I'm here. Yes, thank you.
Well, one person had it, was it, you told me today, 13 times, was it, that one you read?
13 or 15 times, yeah.
Good God. So this is a bad thing, all right? Is it tied to somehow the COVID vax or COVID, the synthetic bioweapon virus? Don't know. 17 years ago, this M1 UK was supposedly first identified as a new variant. Well, over the 17 years, it has spread and spread, and it's easily spread through skin contact, probably exhalation, and the strep throat angle is very interesting. You want to tell us about that? Strep throat, let's start with that.
Well, yeah, so this bacteria is common in the environment, and as long as, you know, you've got a healthy microbiome, you probably won't have an issue with it. But you can pick it up from other people, other wet sources, and you know, it's a crapshoot. You know, who's going to have a problem with it? And certainly, if you have underlying conditions like diabetes or some form of immune compromise, it's going to be more difficult. But there's also, I mean, the it can happen in people with no risk factors. It can happen in all age groups,
right.
And it can happen in otherwise healthy individuals.
Takes no prisoners.
It's that aggressive.
Yeah.
And I
you
know,
can get it off.
Know, people,
can you get it off of fomites? You must be able to.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that now fomite is any inanimate object where a bacteria can sit and wait for a new host, such as, I hate to keep belaboring this, but it's very serious, the handles on grocery store shopping carts, which you grab and you, whatever's on that handle is going to end up on your hand, okay? So at the very least, hold the cart on the outsides, each side, left and right, on the outside with your hands. Wear gloves and be safe. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's easy to just peg someone as having some sort of an issue and that's why they got it. That's not always the case.
No.
And I am seeing, in fact, I just had a friend. She is shot up, unfortunately. Aside from that, healthy, very fit, athletically fit, pays very good attention to her diet, but she just came down with cellulitis in her arm from having had a blood donation. So there was a needle that was inserted, and that area got infected. So it's out there.
It's out there in the United Kingdom. It's out there in Australia, North America, New Zealand, I think, another one, probably Canada if it's in North America, of course, anyhow.
I try to make the point during our last program that, you know, these at-home remedies are all well and good, you know, if it's just a superficial infection to start. You know, they can certainly knock it down. But if you have a puncture wound, and that's what I had, when that knife went into my thumb, it went deep. This was not a laceration. It was a puncture wound. And in no time at all, it sealed right up, so that by the time I went to the emergency room 2 days later, there was no sign of any entry wound, which is probably why they fixated on this idea that I took a fall or something.
Yeah.
So once it's, you know, if you've got a puncture wound, just like the cat bites that I had over the years from working with cats, they would get infected every single time because that bacteria on the tooth gets injected, essentially, and it's beyond anything that a topical treatment is going to get. I tried, because the last thing I want to do is go to a hospital. But at some point, you know, you have to cut your losses and just accept that you need help.
Now,
and
she did not go willingly
are
or
correct.
Quickly. She doesn't like hospitals, and that's a very positive and good thing to use as a bedrock way of relating to hospitals. They're dangerous. It's a simple fact, and you just don't want to go there unless you absolutely have to. But she had to, and she did. And
I tell you, the outcome of a group A strep infection that gets out of control is it can be deadly. It often is deadly.
You lose hands, feet.
Particularly if it progresses to, you know, necrotizing fasciitis, which is, you know, the deeper layer of tissue. And, you know, they will struggle to get it under control. And what they wanted to do with me, and this is why I couldn't absolutely not consent to this, at least initially, they wanted to schedule me for exploratory surgery to find out where, you know, the abscess was, you know, because there was nothing obvious on the surface of my skin. I had no abscess
no
at that
centralized
time.
Location to
no
look at.
No portal of entry. There was nothing that was beginning to abscess or ulcerate, nothing. And to this day, there's nothing. But thank God I averted that. But they were prepared to do that. They were literally scheduling the surgeon. And so they were taking it very seriously. And I have to think, I mean, it had been probably 20 years since I'd been in an emergency room with that type of issue, you know, a cellulitis of the hand from a bite. And on those occasions, 20 years ago, you would go in and you know, you'd tell them what happened, and they'd prescribe antibiotics. And sometimes they would start you with an IV and then send you on your way with the oral antibiotics. But this time, and I have to think it's because of what they're seeing, they were prepared to, you know, pull out all the stops as if this was, you know, probably necrotizing fasciitis brewing under the surface. Although I did not have a fever, I did not have tachycardia, and, you know, my blood pressure was quite high at that point because I was in pain. So, you know, it's a judgment call. You've got to supply them with as much information as you can and hope that they interpret it correctly and you know, are not going to have to play some kind of shenanigans.
Right. So the important thing about this is that Group A strep, and now that the new variant, is, which is 9.5 times more powerful or virulent as the original traditional Group A streptococcus, is not to be messed with. This may be behind the increase we're seeing in cellulitis. This is a straight up, not vertical, but it's an upward graph. Every year, more cases, more fatalities than the year before. That's virtually a constant now. It's very dangerous. So we want you to keep this in mind. And for the 80%+ of Americans who have taken one or more injections of the so-called vaccine, the COVID vaccine, their immune systems are seriously compromised, whether they want to admit it or not, whether they notice it or not. It just does that. The spike is merciless in compromising immune systems. So you have to be doubly careful. All of you injected out there have to be doubly careful because your immune system is not what it used to be. Maybe it'll get back there one day. I hope. We hope. We just don't know. So anyway, here are a couple of short videos we're going to play, and you'll be able to hear the audio of it. Which one is the Japanese one? Is that the top one? The red one?
Yep.
Okay. All right. I'm going to play this one first then. Anything to add before I play this?
I would just say that, you know, particularly in children, where it often presents as a strep throat, you know, back in 2023, the UK had an epidemic of children. There were 15 at one point that had died from strep A in the UK. So it should definitely be taken seriously. And we had an incident actually before the pandemic where in Canada, in Alberta, there was a mother with a young child, maybe around 10 years old or so, who had developed strep throat. And she tried to treat it herself at home with, I think it was dandelion and oil of oregano.
Something like that.
And the child wasn't responding to the treatment. And, you know, she was charged with his murder when he died. You know, they said that it would have been treatable if she'd taken him in for antibiotics. So she actually was sentenced to 3 years in jail. I think she was released in 2019 or so with time served or something. But now she's got to undergo re-education counseling to...
Right, she has to be re-educated. Well,
yeah,
she lost her child. Come on, that's pretty damn, for most people, horrific beyond words.
And we know that was not her intention.
No,
but
mother,
there's a time and a place for antibiotics. And when, you know, if the kid has been having a fever for 5 days, I think it's time to, you know, relent and get them the proper care.
There are times when you have to go in and get that kind of organized help. From hospitals, you just have to. You've got no other way to do it.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with antibiotics. They are life-saving.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that they've been abused the way that they have. I mean, they prescribe them for just about everything. And, you know,
overused
many times
terribly,
inappropriately.
Terribly,
But when you need them, they're a lifesaver.
All right. Okay,
and
here we go.
And we wouldn't have made these advances, you know, in our health and... longevity had it not been for antibiotics.
No. Okay, this first video is entitled, What is Streptococcal Strep Toxic Shock Syndrome? So TSS, everybody knows about toxic shock. So what is STSS? Let's take a listen.
Japan is facing an outbreak of streptococcal toxic shock syndrome, caused by a flesh-eating bacteria that can kill within 48 hours. Nearly 1,000 cases have been reported by the start of June. Experts warn cases could reach 2,500 this year, with a 30% mortality rate. Streptococcal toxic shock syndrome, caused by Group A streptococcus, is a severe condition with a high mortality rate, earning it the nickname flesh-eating bacteria in Japan. According to Japan's National Institute of Infectious Diseases, early symptoms include sore throat, fever, loss of appetite, digestive issues, and low blood pressure, rapidly progressing to soft tissue damage.
Sore throat, think strep throat.
Respiratory failure, liver and kidney failure, and multi-organ failure within 24 to 48 hours. In Japan, streptococcal toxic shock syndrome cases have surged by 60% this year, attributed to the highly virulent M1 UK strain of Group A Streptococcus. From June 3 to 9, the average number of Group A Streptococcus pharyngitis cases was about 3 times higher than the same period in 2023.
Pharyngitis, think strep throat. You heard her mention M1 UK. That's the new strain that is 950% more virulent than the traditional Group A strep.
Indicating a widespread outbreak. Group A streptococcus generally causes milder illnesses such as strep throat, impetigo, and scarlet fever, but streptococcal toxic shock syndrome represents its most severe form. The severity of streptococcal toxic shock syndrome is attributed to an excessive immune response to Group A streptococcus toxins, potentially leading to acute respiratory distress syndrome and other complications. Streptococcal toxic shock syndrome spreads through respiratory droplets and contact with infected wounds.
Think about wearing a mask when you're out amongst people. It's easy, and a bacteria is usually attached to a moisture droplet. Let's just keep it that way and keep it simple. And that will not go through a good mask. N95 mask is going to prevent virtually all transmission that way, because this is a larger item. It'll get caught easier in the meshing that those masks are made of. Go ahead. Anything you want to add?
No, go ahead.
Primarily affecting adults over 30. In Japan, the number of infections among individuals over 50 has increased this year, with a particularly significant rise in cases among those over 70 compared to previous years. High-risk groups include individuals with ulcerative skin diseases, recent surgical patients, diabetics, alcoholics, and frequent users of painkillers or non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. Early detection and treatment are crucial due to streptococcal toxic shock syndrome's rapid progression. Severe limb pain, significant throat pain, high fever, delirium, or rapidly spreading redness and swelling around a wound require immediate medical attention. Preventive measures, such as regular hand washing and mask wearing, can reduce the risk. Treatment typically involves penicillin antibiotics, with clindamycin recommended for managing septic shock symptoms. Syndrome's rapid progression is vital for effective prevention and treatment. Recognizing symptoms early and adopting preventive measures can significantly reduce severe outcomes. Stay informed, practice good hygiene, and seek prompt medical care if an infection is suspected.
Okay, that's good. That's one of the first videos that I can remember where they made a positive recommendation that mask wearing is advisable. These are different times now than they were 20 years ago, 30 years ago. You have to bend every advantage your way. That doesn't mean you have to be paranoid, although someone did say only the most paranoid are going to survive what's coming. Interesting line. But that's a real interesting video. It's a good explanation. We got one more to play here. Anything to add?
No, that kind of sums it up. I mean, Japan is very heavily vaxxed, but... I have to think that is contributing to the high rates of this in adults, just succumbing to this toxic shock, which means, the bacteria gets into the bloodstream and then starts circulating to all the different organs, and it's really a
right.
cytokine storm.
Your body is under attack internally, maybe from head to foot, everywhere. This stuff can spread so fast, and it's very dangerous.
Well,
so,
the danger is that it provokes your immune system into this cytokine storm. That's what we call this super antigen. The immune response is disproportionate to the threat, and it's because it just can't target it properly. So you've got this
right.
barrage of bullets going everywhere, including, your own organs and tissues.
Right. Okay, here's another little video on this. We want to make sure you have the best information to make the best decisions for how you conduct your lives. It's your choice. It's your ability. And this is hopefully going to help. Here we go.
But it's interesting, in light of these new numbers, I think it bears diving into this issue again. Lauren was mentioning strep A. That's a common infection, isn't it? Just help us understand basically what we're dealing with.
Yeah, it's an unusual type of bacteria in that it can do a lot of different things. So a lot of people are familiar with strep throat. Okay, so it's a bacterial infection of the throat, causes what we call pharyngitis, or that throat pain, that throat inflammation. Sometimes that can spread to the tonsils, cause a tonsillitis. If it's very aggressive, it can even spread, cause an ear infection, cause an abscess. But typically it's just a throat infection. Sometimes that's associated with a rash, these sort of fine red bumps called a sandpaper rash. In that case, we call it scarlet fever.
Right.
But it can trigger the immune system in unusual ways. So this bacterial infection can cause an immune reaction, which causes antibodies, which can actually attack normal parts of the body, like the heart valves. That's called rheumatic fever. It can attack the kidneys. That's called glomerulonephritis. So strep has some unusual manifestations.
So in this particular case, then, what causes it to become, or how does it become aggressive and then invasive?
Right. So it's,
and get into the body.
And it's a different animal. And it, as you say, if it's invasive group A strep, or what's called IgAS, it's usually different subtypes of the strep. And that's when it gets into parts of the body where it shouldn't be, like the lungs and cause pneumonia, like the bloodstream where it can cause shock and organ failure, or the skin and muscles, deep muscle tissues, where it can cause this necrotizing fasciitis, or what people call flesh-eating disease. It's for reasons that are unclear, and it doesn't happen in everybody, but certain subtypes of strep can be very aggressive and cause these types of infection. So it has this whole spectrum of the types of diseases it causes.
So not exactly clear how it even does this, but is there any obvious explanation for why the numbers are so concerningly on the rise?
Yeah, it's a great question, because it was happening before the pandemic. You know, mm-hmm. for over a decade, we've seen an increase in these invasive types of strep infections. Unclear why that is. We know that they're more common in very young children under one, or people over 50, and people with underlying chronic diseases. So there are more and more people surviving longer with chronic diseases, often diseases that weaken their immune system. That may be part of it.
Speaking of weakening the immune system, what weakens the immune system every single time? The COVID vax, the spike protein at work. There's the big destroyer of immune competence right there.
Well, and don't forget the virus, you know?
Oh, no, we should always mention that, too. The virus, the COVID virus, is not just like having a cold. You're not going to just blow it off in a day or two. I've met a lot of people who have been knocked out for weeks, and there is a lot of data that suggests the ongoing effects of having the synthetic bioweapon virus, the COVID virus, don't abate. They hang around. Long-term ongoing damage. So you don't want this virus.
Know that strep is opportunistic. It tends to cause infection when the tissues and the body is already weakened. And so it often will follow a viral infection. And so we certainly saw a lot of viral infections during the pandemic.
And now, we're talking about the triple demic of RSV and flu and COVID.
Yeah.
So it follows those primary infections and can take advantage. So if those numbers are going up, perhaps there's some connection to the increase in this invasive form of strep A.
Yeah.
What was interesting in Lauren's piece, and interesting and devastating to hear, is the mother saying just how quickly this took effect. And for parents, there might be some confusion, because the symptoms sort of overlap with more common things. What do parents need to watch out for first?
Yeah, you know, the invasive forms are rare, but as you heard, devastating, in that it causes this immune response. You know, the bacteria, in this case, it must have been a toxic shock syndrome, as we call it, where the bacteria gets into the bloodstream, it releases toxins, the immune system responds to those toxins, and that causes kind of a storm where the blood pressure drops and the organs start to fail, and that can progress very quickly. And similarly, if it gets into the muscles, that can progress very quickly. And you've heard that, you know, despite antibiotics, it often the only way to treat it is to actually amputate, to remove the tissue, which sounds very barbaric. So it depends where it is. If it's in the lungs, you're going to have more of those pneumonia-type symptoms. If it's in the muscle and deep tissues, it's going to be pain, redness, inflammation in that area. If it's a toxic shock syndrome, it's high fevers and symptoms of low blood pressure, so confusion, lightheadedness. And then, of course, if it's in the throat, it's basically a strep throat. It's that throat pain with swallowing, that tonsil pain. Sometimes if you look at the tonsils, you can actually see a little bit of pus on the tonsils. That's a clue, along with the fever and plus or minus that scarlet rash, which is quite telltale for this.
So I guess, initially with a strep throat infection, you might, as a parent, deal with it yourself or just, how you would normally treat that. But what would trigger something that you would, really spring into action quickly, go to get medical attention?
Yeah, so I think a couple of things. One is, even for the strep throat, you want to see a doctor, get a strep test. We have rapid strep tests and get antibiotics for that. And so the first thing is, how do you distinguish? Because it's so common right now, especially for people to just have a viral infection, a viral throat infection. And so one of the things about viruses is they tend to cause more diffuse symptoms. So eyes, nose, throat, you're hoarse, you're coughing. Whereas bacteria tend to be more focused, and so it's going to be more focused on the throat. So if you have, those more local symptoms of just the throat along with the fever, that's more likely strep throat. The warning signs are when you're getting into severe pain, high fevers, persistent fevers, and particularly that lightheadedness or confusion. That's when you really need to seek attention.
And then
now, a couple of things. Erica had the kind, that, as you've heard her explain, that goes into the deep tissues. There was no overt lesion, no swelling, no pus, nothing like that.
Oh, there was swelling. There was swelling.
But I meant in a specific location. Your whole hand swelled up. That pumped up like a balloon
your
wrist.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was talking about just a point of entry kind of a thing. But
her
whole hand looked like it had been literally inflated to almost three times its normal size. This was a deep infection that spread through her musculature, through her tendons, through her neurology. She had terrible pain, constant pain. She couldn't use her hand for over a month. It was just like a hanging claw. And this man made it quite clear that that's like, he was a second example he gave of how this strep can get in there and do damage. When I was a kid, I had tonsils. I didn't have mine out. And I used to get tonsillitis, which would often morph into strep throat. And I'd look in my throat, and talk about pus and white. My tonsils were totally infected. By the time I was in my early 20s, my tonsils had been so infected so many times that they were mostly scar tissue. So I went in and had them out. They're gone. So that's something. I don't know that tonsils, they say now tonsils are actually very good. They do good things. Why they were being taken out for so many years is a mystery to me, unless it was to try to prevent tonsillitis, which is very common as a kid. Anyway, I had strep throat so bad at one point, and you mentioned you knew something about this or you had read about it, that I literally could not swallow. And I was talking about like this. I couldn't speak. I couldn't swallow liquids. That's how bad it got. Now, fortunately, I recovered. Antibiotics did it. And I'm wondering now if we're going to see tonsillitis, strep throat with this new M1 UK variety.
Oh,
and if that happens,
I've been seeing a lot of strep throat. I constantly...
That's constantly probably what it is,
what
then.
They think is strep, yeah. And it's defined by, it feels like razor blades in your throat.
Uh-huh.
It's very, very painful.
Right. Well, did you have the razor blade feeling in your hand at all? Did it get that bad, or what was the pain like?
The overriding feeling was burning,
mm-hmm.
followed by like twisting, crushing. Like it was in a blender.
Well, you said it felt like it was in a blender. I remember that. Okay, so the point of all this is that hygiene is very important. Wash your hands. That doesn't mean bleach your hands. There's a downside to that kind of over-hygiene that we could talk about as well briefly. Clean. Take care. Don't be touching a lot of things and then putting your hands in your mouth or rubbing yourself, etc. I know it sounds a little bit paranoid, but again, I don't think you can be too paranoid with the kind of climate, the terrain we have now, with over 80% of the people with defective immune systems, failed immune systems in many cases, from getting these injections. So we have a lot of new things to consider.
Well, and I draw attention to, remember during the pandemic, all of that hand sanitizer that was used.
Yes, it's still available in stores.
That,
you can see it on the way in.
You know, when you wreck your own native skin microbiome, I mean, that's protective. You know, that's supposed to keep the bad guys out. So when you obliterate, you know, the beneficial bacteria that are creating an acid barrier for
right.
you open yourselves up to this stuff. And I had been, in hindsight, using quite a bit of bleach without gloves.
To clean things that you were bringing into the house from outside.
Yeah.
Okay, like grocery products, things like that. All right.
Well, whatever. You know, just something that, you know, you're bringing it inside. You don't know where it was. You don't know who handled it. And just spritz it with some bleach and wash it off.
Right. Sure.
So, you know, that may have contributed. I don't know.
Okay, well, that's our little update on Group A strep and the new variant. 17 years ago, it was discovered, and it is now all over the place. It's called M1 UK, as in the United Kingdom, M1 UK. And it's not to be messed with. It's 950% more powerful than the traditional Group A strep. All right, anything final, and then we're going to go on and try and start to get our...
No, I just say, you know, it's out there. You know, if you can take some benefit from my experience, you know, don't think you're impervious to it because you didn't get the shots. You know, for the record, people should know by now, I'm not vaxxed. I don't work with vax people. I don't live with vax people. I have minimal contact with vax people because I know the risks. And yet... You know, I got it. I got a, you know, potentially
right.
deadly infection, bacterial infection.
No, exactly. Okay, do we have any readers we want to dump in about this?
Yeah, I think we've got a couple that we can wrap up cellulitis, and then we can put it to bed.
Okay. Don't forget the word cellulitis. It doesn't sound like you'd expect a bad infection to be. It sounds like some little irritant, but... No, it's very bad. Okay. Let's see if I can get this brought up. All right, where are we here?
Are we on December 4?
Yeah, that would be the new one. He got those finished, so.
All righty. We could do cellulitis hand?
Sure. Sure, that's good. Let me find where it is. Okay. All right, I'm looking at the master list. Cellulitis hand. Where is it here? Cellulitis sugar. Cellulitis after phlebotomy. Cellulitis 4-year-old. Cellulitis hand. Got it. Okay. All right. Here we go. This is a post on a social media site. Which site was this?
This is in one of the cellulitis support groups.
Groups, okay.
And I think this one is based in the UK. There seem to be a lot of this in the UK. Well,
it does. A lot of posts.
This is where the latest strain originated.
That's it, M1 UK. Hi, I have cellulitis for the first time. It landed in my baby finger. I had a cyst since August, and for whatever reason, it became inflamed a week ago Saturday. By Monday, 2 days later, I saw my doctor put me on oral antibiotics and couldn't lance it. By Wednesday, I went back, and the doctor sent me to the hospital. At the hospital, I was given an order for 6 days of antibiotics in community. What the hell is that?
Community wound care?
Yeah, there's an errant comma here. Okay.
Yeah, it's...
6 days of antibiotics and community wound care and was lanced with nerve blocks. All right, so they deadened the nerve somehow and then lanced it. It seems to be getting better. So now starting today, I'm back on oral antibiotics for 5 more days. I'm hoping by the end point of the oral antibiotics, I'm clear. Is this something now that I need to be concerned about as recurring in the future? Does it come back to the same spot or other spots or injuries you might get in the future? It was super bad and rapid In other words, streaking up to my armpits. Should I remove the cyst once it heals, if it is still there? Anyhow, thank you for your assistance. I'm blaming the young ones for putting the bacteria into me through holding hands on the way back from school. How sad to have to worry about that.
The same person continues. Do you have sugar and cellulitis?
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. So she's apparently questioning why this happened, as people normally would. I'm wondering about my cellulitis and whether it is related to blood sugar, or is this something that was caught? For reference, I got cellulitis 2 weeks back on my finger. I'm having a hard time figuring out why I couldn't resolve this infection myself. Well, I replied to her. I just said, don't be too hard on yourself. There's a new strain of group A strep going around that is particularly aggressive. I got it from a tiny cut on the tip of my thumb a few months ago, and it turned into a raging case of cellulitis requiring IV antibiotics. I now know of two friends who have had similar, both cases in their arm or hand. And she replies, mine was definitely aggressive and raging too, on a finger. From Saturday to Wednesday, I needed IV antibiotics to slow it down. The scarring right now is awful. And another person says, I must keep a close eye on my blood sugars, otherwise I will get an infection. And third person says, mine started after a car accident. I got hit on at 50 miles an hour, and I was in
I got
a
hit.
Backseat.
She got hit head on. Hit head on at 50 miles an hour.
Yeah. And I was a backseat passenger, and I got my leg fastened under the driver's seat when the car flipped over. That was 11 years ago, and I have suffered ever since. I just had 2 weeks in the hospital with mine on IV antibiotics now, oral for a week. This time, it's the worst it's ever been. And I believe this is a guy. He posted a picture, Tony, posted a picture. Yeah. And
I saw that picture.
Looks like he's
going to
lose a leg.
It does. If that turns any more black, it would be fasciitis, I would say, and that would be necrotic tissue. All right, there's a little bit more here. I have had type 1 diabetes for 40 years last month. I do struggle with this, and it is very common in diabetics because our blood doesn't always flow well. Well, geez, if this person's gotten the COVID injection, he's got sludge blood on top of that. Your blood sugar, when high, can help the infection grow, but probably won't start it. My last case was caused by a fall. I took a really bad fall and something just happened and I ended up with a bad infection. Give yourself grace. Remember, once it is in your bodies, we can always get it again. I guess that's what he's saying. Take care of you. You deserve feeling good and good health. And another comment below that. I can honestly say that when I watch what I eat, which is really hard, I don't get cellulitis as often. I love sweets, and I get yelled at when I eat them, so I'm trying not to. Gave up soda and just drink water now. And one more comment. It's a bacterial infection. There are many ways to get it. And that's true.
Well, in addition to sugar, people need to be cognizant that iron also will feed these types of infections. And we know people are having problems with iron now. I mean, you wouldn't believe how many people are now anemic, but it's the anemia of chronic inflammation. So their blood is anemic. It's very low in hemoglobin, while their livers and other organs are becoming overloaded. And I did read somewhere that this particular strain of strep pyogenes, the one that's associated with the cellulitis and necrotizing fasciitis and strep throat, changes from its normal quiescent form, passive form, into this virulent form when there's a lack of iron in its environment. so it starts producing more virulence factors when it detects there's a lack of iron. Because, you know, this bacteria needs iron for its own survival. And one of the ways it acquires iron is by destroying your red blood cells. It's going after the iron. So when it senses it's not there, it actually becomes more virulent.
Mm-hmm. Let's go on. I think we're going to have to hold off on our ALS until next visit. We got some more cellulitis stories here. There are three more. You see those right in the middle?
Yep.
Okay. The one we can start with is interesting to me. This is the one who got it after donating blood. Got it from a phlebotomy.
Yep.
Procedure.
That's my friend.
Is it? You want to go ahead and read that then? Go ahead.
Sure. I ended up in the ER with a concern of a blood clot from donating blood. While waiting for the ultrasound, a red line appeared. Prior to that, I had severe arm pain, and when my hand went numb, it was time to get it looked at. It ended up being cellulitis, and the antibiotics seemed to be working. The red lines have turned into yellow bruises, and my hand is almost feeling normal. There is still pain, but it's improving. So.
Yeah. All right, there's one more. It's a child. It's always sad to see these photos of a little child. Legs swollen up all the way down from the knees, at least.
There's abscesses
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah, and there's an abscess, looks like behind the ankle. And the ankle area is all turning dark blue, and it's headed toward black, and that's kid could lose his foot. All right, the mother says, my four-year-old constantly has flare-ups of cellulitis. We have had many hospital trips and stays of it just being mozzle allergy. What the hell is mozzle allergy?
Mozzie?
I beg your pardon, mozzie allergy. What's that?
I think you have to ask somebody in the UK. I don't know.
They have a lot of slang terms. We've had many hospital trips and stays of it just being mozzie allergy and go on our way with no further investigation. Seventh flare-up is a four-year-old child in 5 months. Every doctor has no clue. This doesn't feel normal, but I keep getting brushed off. Flare-ups happen fast and within the hour. Who do I get referred to? Or should I ask to investigate this? Each flare-up in her four-year-old is described as being worse than the one before. This is not good. So there we go. Is this new, this terrible problem in her child, is this the new variant? It could be.
Well, and again, you have to ask, how many shots? How many shots do the parents have?
You'll notice that is not discussed in any of these readers because many of the boards won't allow it.
They won't allow it, and or people genuinely have no clue that these injections were pure poison. As Ed Dowd said it, remember that clip
100%.
We played? You know,
absolutely.
No one's talking about it, so these people are not inclined to even question it.
No. Okay. There's one more in here, group A strep. It describes the M1UK strain.
Oh, yeah. We want to read
go
that?
Ahead and, we can if you want. The key features, whatever.
Okay.
It's our last one.
Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead with that?
All right, streptococcus.
I read the first graph earlier, but so go ahead and do that again if
All
you
right.
want. Doesn't matter.
Streptococcus pyogenes. M1UK. Species of gram-positive, aerotolerant, that means it can live in oxygen, bacteria that can cause group A streptococcal infection. A variant of this species, known as M1UK, has been increasingly reported and can be differentiated from the global variant by its overexpression of the superantigen SPEA, and that stands for streptococcal pyogenic exotoxin A. That's a toxin that the bacteria produce. Let's see. Association with seasonal scarlet fever surges. and invasive infections. M1UK has been linked with seasonal scarlet fever surges and a marked increase in invasive infections in the UK. Global spread. M1UK has been identified in several countries, including the UK, Australia, and North America. Clinical manifestations. Community-acquired pneumonia. M1UK has been associated with severe clinical manifestations, including community-acquired pneumonia. And then pleural epiema. M1UK has also been linked with pleural epiema, a condition characterized by the accumulation of pus in the pleural space. That's the lungs.
Mm-hmm.
Streptococcal toxic shock syndrome. M1UK has been associated with streptococcal toxic shock syndrome, a severe condition characterized by fever, vomiting, and shock.
And the last one is very important. Importance of surveillance. Genomic surveillance studies. Genomic surveillance studies are urgent to assess the spread of M1UK strains in invasive GAS or GAS, right? That's
the new term
for group A strep. They're calling it GAS, GAS. All right. Public health guidance. The capacity of S. pyogenes to cause outbreaks at a national scale. It sounds like the word epidemic might be used in there, huh? Highlights a potential need to consider strain-specific public health guidance. Strain-specific. So this new one, M1UK, might require special protocols to deal with. I'm not sure that doctors are testing and evaluating which strain you have. The traditional?
Yeah.
The old gas or the new gas? All right.
Well, the thing to remember is it can get out of control very fast.
Well, 24 to 48 hours and you could be gone, dead.
Right.
Or end up with no hands and no feet, and that's not a joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, these we had a... You sent me that video of that young woman. I don't know where she was.
Oh, yeah. That was prior to the pandemic. A young woman that she developed sore throat. It ended up being strep throat.
Yeah.
She didn't want to go to the hospital or the doctor because she didn't have insurance, didn't want to get a bill. And, you know, there's a lot of people in that position, by the way. And so she didn't treat it, and it ended up becoming septic. She became septic, meaning it got into her bloodstream and began spreading. And she ended up having to have the fingers on one of her hands amputated because they had gone gangrenous. Almost like the COVID toes.
Oh, that's terrible. The actual tips of her fingers.
Yeah, it was all devitalized tissue.
Right. She lost her last, usually the middle knuckle or the last knuckle. I think the middle knuckle in three of the fingers anyway. They just took it off of the knuckle because from the knuckle onto the nail, the end of her finger, was black as coal, dead.
Yeah.
The tissue was necrotic. It was dead. And so they to save her, they save what's left of her hand. She's trying to learn now how to use her right hand, I think it is, like she was able to before. I don't know if she's left-handed or right-handed, but she's alive. And when you see the pictures of these people who have survived this and survived necrotizing fasciitis, and they've lost pieces of skin. One woman lost above her knee on the back of her side of her leg, she lost about a 10-inch by 2-inch piece of flesh. They just had to cut it out and suture it up. These people are very, very happy. They know they have stared death in the face and somehow survived it. They know. But it almost sounds like it's alarmism to tell you about this group A strep gas and how it is now with the new strain, the M1UK strain, which is 950% more virulent, more nasty, more powerful, more deadly potentially than the traditional. It's here and it's spreading, and you may have it on your body right now. As long as it stays on the outside of your skin, you're okay. Now, if you cut yourself, I cut myself outside working in the dirt, so to speak, often. and I'm okay. Whenever I get a cut, I come in and I pour hydrogen peroxide on it. It seems to work for me. I've never had a problem, knock on wood. But this is really popping up more and more frequently now, and it is something of a major concern. You need to be aware of it. Don't become paranoid. Just be aware. That's most important. So if you get a cut or something and it starts to act weird, watch it. And you need to go to the ER. Go to the ER. Don't play games with this. All right, any final comment there, partner?
No, that's good. I hate to keep harping on this, but it is important. And really, aside from some fleeting stories in the news, no one's really talking about it.
No one's talking about it.
You know, you could see on social media some of the threads that it has increased in recent years.
If you look under our names and guests, you'll see a graph from 1997 to 2022, and you can see the increases in cases of cellulitis right there, and the number of dead each year is growing all the way through.
I wouldn't say that's necessarily just cellulitis. That's any type, any form of invasive group A strep. So that means, the bacteria has gone beyond a superficial infection.
Right.
It's now in deeper tissues. It's now spreading through the body.
All right. That's very important then to take a look at, even more so. It's all group A strep.
These poor kids, it comes on fast.
Heartbreaking. Yeah, it is. All right. Thank you. Talk soon. Great job.
Okay. My pleasure, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
All right. Okay, we'll be right back with hour number 3. Yoichi Shimatsu coming up next. We'll talk in just a few minutes. Hang on.